this. Cliffo and Bronte after hours. This content is not for little ears. Cliffo and Bronte.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Cliffo and Bronte after hours. It's the weekend.
It's the freaking weekend.
And I'm going to say, I'm sorry, but we deserve it after the week we've had.
I am happy to be here, mate.
On this feed, you can get all the action from Cliffo and Bronte's Leap of Faith, Vanessa and Dave leaping into marriage and then leaping into the rest of their lives as a married couple out of a plane. So that's on this podcast feed. But after hours, you're not going to get that because it's exclusive stuff, man.
This is all new. No one's heard it. We haven't even heard it until we start talking about it, you know?
That's what makes it fun.
Literally. And on the show today, what are you going to hear? The world's going to end. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
It's over. We had a good run.
God, we went from a high there, like the marriage of Vanessa and Dave, to the world being over.
At least they got married before it all comes to an end. But yeah, The Last of Us, it's a TV show. And it's happening
it's
in real life.
Also on After Hours this week, it never ceases to amaze me what scientists will waste hard-earned research dollars on.
Grants, like the thousands and thousands of dollars.
Usually our taxpayer grants.
Yeah.
Like the science that our taxes fund is ridiculous.
And it's just worse when they don't get the result that they want.
A great example of that coming up. Cliffo and Bronte, it's our After Hours podcast. You know, I've started doing a Bronte Langbrook and exercising.
Oh, I'm glad you clarified.
Straight after work. I'm doing a Bronte Langbrook and making my life a complete mess.
That is
it's
the Bronte Langbrook method.
Train wreck.
Yeah, baby.
No, I'm walking as soon as I get home, and I'm really, like, more so than when I was having a nap and then doing it in the afternoons, I'm walking with intent. Like, I'm really, like, I think I'm burning the calories because
I'm
lost
really
weight. Putting in.
I haven't told you this, but you've definitely lost weight.
I've had a good healthy few,
I can see it. I can see it. Is that what this was about?
It's because I've got, but I just know I'm losing, like, you know, you lose a lot at the start and then it patters out.
But that's good.
But
you
anyway,
need that
you gotta
motivation
start
in
somewhere.
The beginning.
But anyway, I'm going hard. And I guess I'm feeling good and productive about myself or whatever. Like, I'm feeling the opposite of lazy.
I'm glad.
And that's why on my walk yesterday afternoon, when I saw two examples of laziness, I was quite pissed off.
Okay. Right.
Number one, a very simple one. And to paint the picture, this is on a walking track behind my house that is a concreted path.
Yep.
And number one, a very simple one. We all would have seen it. The very simple act of not picking up after your dog.
No.
Right there on the concrete footpath.
Fresh?
Fresh on Monday. By Tuesday, it was starting to go more solid. By Wednesday, it was white.
Oh, disgusting.
And it's just sat there or whatever. Look, Look, makes me angry enough. It is a great example of laziness.
Isn't it?
And while it's disgusting, I feel like it doesn't trump the second example I have of laziness because this is the height of it. Mm. In fact, you know what? Next time I go for a walk, I'm going to take a photo to show you.
Okay. Good promo for the pod.
Yeah, I'll come back to the after hours next week with the photo evidence, guys. Two small branches that I could easily pick up and put in the back of my car have fallen down off a tree. Instead of council coming and removing them, I kid you not, council has done a bit of spray paint around them.
Oh, my God.
And put three witch's hats around these two branches that, like I say, I could easily pick up and put in the boot of my car.
Oh, God. Yeah, when you say branches, I think like twigs almost.
No.
Like,
no.
Their size, as in they fell from a tree, so they're large-ish.
They could fit in the back of my Nissan Juala.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But instead of just doing the job, someone in council has done probably what the bureaucrats say have to do. They've spray painted where they are and they've put witches' hats around them for safety. And I hate to think of the meetings and the subcommittees and the red tape they would have had to do just to get approval to pull out the witches' hats, mate.
Do you know how much that person would have gotten, though, for spray painting that white paint? Our entire salary.
Mate, and it took half a day. It's a half a day job right there. So I think the highlight for the regular radio show and the regular podcast this week was marrying a couple and pushing them out of a perfectly good airplane.
That was my highlight because you got to marry them.
Yeah.
I didn't get to
you
push.
You caught them.
I tried my best. I've been working out.
You're blowing them.
Like coming out of a Mr. Bean show.
Look, if you missed all that, you can get it on the regular Cliffo and Bronte podcast. But if, as part of that, we're asking the question about hens nights because they've both had relatively, I'm going to say, tame bucks nights and hens nights compared to some of the calls we got through.
Definitely. We had some people being very politically correct regarding where these bucks and hens parties took them.
We can say strip club, guys.
Strip club.
I don't know why we had people tiptoeing around the word, but
I love it.
Calls still coming through on this. So this is an After Hours exclusive, and Greg joins us on the After Hours podcast. Greg, wildest thing that you saw happen on a buck or hens night?
Yeah, this happened about 1979. So we're going back a bit.
Yeah.
Where you could get away with things. And you know how you get, if you go into a butcher shop and they've got carcasses hanging up, you see an ink dye on them sometimes, they stamp them.
Yeah, like your leg of lamb always comes with, like, it's usually pink-coloured writing on
it. Yeah, right.
Yeah, pink. Oh, yeah, in this particular case, it was green.
Okay.
And the groom that night, one of the guys there at the party, he worked at a meatworks. So he brought along a jar of this green ink.
Oh.
Yeah. Rookie mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyhow, the groom-to-be, he overindulged in some beverages, and he passed out. So down come the trousers, and then all the privates got...
Died
green, and he tried to, when he woke up and it had all dried, he tried to get it off, but that stuff doesn't rub off with soap and water. And let's say his wife-to-be, they got married. It was 4 months before they could actually have sex because, it was green. And she said, that's going nowhere near.
Stop. Oh, my God.
I don't blame her for saying no, man.
Like, absolutely.
Things looks like Elphaba from Wicked.
I was going to say the Hulk, if he's lucky.
13, 10, 60. We'll go to Michael next. Michael, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good. Yourself?
Good. What's the wild thing that happened on a buck or hens night?
So we went down to the Gold Coast for a mate's bucks night.
This already sounds more wild than the other stories.
The sight of many, many.
Yep. So we went to an adult entertainment club later in the night. And standing in line, the girl in front of us was being told, no, you can't come in, you're too drunk. She's standing there going, no, I'm not even that drunk, I'm not even that drunk. And the bouncer says to her, love, your boob is literally out right now. She looks down at her chest and she goes, so it is, with all the confidence in the world.
And I need to start my shift, clearly. It's been a bad week, or maybe a good week for us, when producer Alicia comes in to do Say What and she goes, hold on, let me go through the list and decide which ones are the best.
It's a bad week for us, but a good week for this segment when there's an entire list of stupid stuff that we say on the show. It's mostly you and I.
Yes.
We do most of the talking, but sometimes it's other people. But we just have to identify who said what.
Yeah, pretty much.
Best of three.
That's all it is.
All right.
So the first quote. There's been a lot to unpack in the last 3 minutes.
Sounds like... No, I won't say that.
a lot to unpack in the last...
Feels like something I would say.
Yeah, I'm going to say Cliffo too. Just the words used sound like you.
That's correct.
Yeah.
It was Cliffo.
Yeah.
Based on the airline changes that Bronte had given.
The airline changes.
Oh, yes. Changes. I remember that.
The flight festival that you love.
There was a lot going on.
All right, we're off to a good start.
All right. Next one was, get the knives out, the fight is on, this is the Hunger Games.
That is one Bronte Langbrook, probably referring to, can you beat Bronte?
Do you agree, Bronte?
No, I don't. What
you speak very competitively when it comes to this game.
But again, I don't think I speak that eloquently. I think that's you.
It was Cliffo.
Yay!
That was Cliffo, that was your advice to Bronte's dad, JP, on the upcoming election.
Okay, so not only was I wrong with who said it, I was wrong with the context as well.
Yes, correct.
Great.
Good advice for JP.
Very good advice for JP.
Going well for me.
Yeah. So the last one, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard on this show.
I mean, that could be one of all three of us, isn't it?
Again, I'm going to say
Don't tell me it's the Cliffo trifecta.
It's the Cliffo trifecta.
It's the Cliffo trifecta. Yeah.
Not a good week for you,
Cliffo,
mate.
Cliffo actually said this to a caller, Ella, who said that Easter chocolate tastes better than normal chocolate.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. When you came for me about that debacle.
Guy Clifton abusing listeners to the show. Love it.
Okay. I don't think we should be panicking anybody or causing any kind of ruckus, but you should know that the world is going to end.
Ah, great.
Because
the old, I don't want to be a fear monger, yeah, but get ready to be bungered, guys.
Devour this fear.
I'm munging on.
The Last of Us is going to happen in real life. Yeah. So if you don't know, The Last of Us is a show that completely gripped the world, you and I included.
Oh,
based off a video game.
Best drama I've watched in probably a few years. I loved it.
It is. It has the same production value per episode that a Hollywood movie does. And you can tell it is just so well produced. But what's scary is that that is based on the crazy idea that the world ends one day because of a fungal infection from a plant. Mm. Cordyceps.
And if anyone knows a thing or two about fungal infections, it's our Bronte Langbrook.
That's where the Langbrooks know our strengths. And what the whole thing is, this could never happen. Cordyceps, they do take over some animals. Ants are their most usual target.
And they, like, take over the host.
They take over the host and they infiltrate the brain. So often the host is still aware of what it's doing, but it has no control because of the cordyceps, which is a mushroom, essentially. And we've talked on the regular show about the fact that this couldn't really happen until some major, major stuff changes in terms of our body temperatures and climate change, and the world would have to heat up for the cordyceps to infiltrate.
God, which we know it is.
It is, slowly but surely. We're okay. Maybe our future babies.
Right, okay.
But that's all actually, I'm wrong. Everything you've just heard is wrong. Because, scarily, a 61-year-old man has now become the first ever human recorded to be infected with a killer plant fungus.
This is exactly how The Last of Us began.
Yeah. So it was an Indian plant mycologist. He caught the fungal disease after suffering from flu-like symptoms for months. He was struggling to swallow for quite a few months. And when they did some scans, they showed that there was a huge abscess in his esophagus, and it is all indicating that it was he was infected from a fungus that jumped from a plant he was studying to this human.
Right.
It usually is a fungus found in silver leaves, if you were, I know you study plants.
All over the silver leaves. They're my favourite kind of leaves.
It's called a silver leaf disease.
So is he dead now?
He is not dead.
Okay, he's still living.
He is alive, and the abscess has been removed. He hasn't been named. It's all being documented in the medical mycology case report. I know you like to read that before bed.
Easy bedtime reading. It's a light read.
And the doctors who treated him have claimed, though, that plant fungi and decaying material was found within his body.
Has anyone told Pedro Pascal?
I think they have told.
Can someone alert Pedro?
The creators of The Last of Us.
Good, good. So Series 2 is going to be a factual documentary.
Oh, no, it's back to 2023. I'm all for scientists expanding our wealth of knowledge when it comes to creating vaccines for things or finding cures for things.
All right, we can take that off the list. Bronte Langbrook, not anti-vax. She's
supports
facts positive.
Yes.
Tick.
There's just when I see articles about like what certain scientists are doing, I'm always like, who's funding this? Why are we doing this? And especially when it's happening at one of the most prestigious universities in the world. This is the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT. This is
MIT, yeah.
Yeah. All of the like biggest brains in the world have come from, especially like the tech world. Scientists at MIT have revealed that they have been trying to find the most effective way to eat an Oreo cookie, Cliffo.
Oh, thank God. Can we just take a moment, round of applause for these nights of research.
Crystal Owens, a PhD candidate in MIT's mechanical engineering department.
Her parents are so proud.
Like, mechanical engineering. This is a clever, clever woman. She has been testing over 1,000 Oreos to figure out the best way to eat the cookie.
Oh, what a rort.
Right?
What a rort.
So she's got a whole team behind her. They have been creating essentially, like, because she's a mechanical engineer,
yeah,
different types of like machines to equally distribute the Oreos cream on both sides of the wafer. Because at the end of the day, that's what we want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. More cream to biscuit ratio.
Exactly.
I get what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
So they have a device called a rheometer that essentially like twists things at the same time. And ideally, they've been trying to get it on both sides. But, Clivo, this is the thing.
Wow.
They've glued different, like, or they've tried different flavors of the cookie. They've tried different, like, speeds that the rheometer spins. No matter how fast or slow, they couldn't do it.
I think, you're looking at a big guy here. Like, I've eaten a lot of Oreos in my time. I've spit a lot of Oreos. Right. I don't think I've ever got, like, a fitty-fitty crank. Like, it's one side or the other.
Yeah.
Or it's just a mess.
They've never done it.
No.
After 1,000 cookies.
American universities, keep throwing money at it, guys, because this is a serious issue.
That was the Clifo and Bronte podcast.